Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. We're starting out the new year in a very, very cool way. I'm very excited for tonight's episode. It's a little different than what we normally do. We're just talking about this before we started the show, and I'm so excited. It's a new hobby I'm into, and those who follow my blog and follow me and whatnot know that I tend to get on these kicks, these hobbies I find. And we last year it was grilling. I own a couple grills now, and I get into it. But this is something very cool, and I'm just very excited. And we're gonna get started. I want to introduce tonight's guest. It's Recordology. Recordology is not an expert, he says, but rather a enthusiast of record collecting and record playing and all things audio like that. How are you tonight, Recordology?
I'm doing very, very well. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We were talking a little bit before we started the show. For those who don't know, my fiance Danny got me a turntable, a very cool turntable that, we were going through Bed Bath & Beyond, and yes, Bed Bath & Beyond, you can send me a check now, but we were going through there, and we saw this cool piece of equipment just sitting there. It was all lit up, and it looked like something out of the Nautilus, Captain Nemo's Nautilus or something. I just loved it. Now, you also own this 6-in-1 Victrola system, right, Recordology?
Yes. Yes, that's correct. The Victrola 6-in-1, I do own that. It's a beautiful unit. It's got, and that's one of the cool things about this hobby is that it's not just the functionality of it, but a lot of it's the aesthetic of it. And and not just the aesthetic of, physical media, putting the record on, storing it, owning it, going out there and finding it, but the equipment itself and the styling aspects of this equipment, I think it's really neat. So just having, a very cool visual appeal is a big part of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We bought a house a couple of years ago, and it's a 1958 mid-century ranch here in South Florida. And we just have been, people are like, oh, are you bringing it back to, and I'm like, no, we're not actually. We're doing what's called a mid-century revision, where it's got all the modern, nice stuff, but still maintains that feel and that vibe. And this unit fit perfectly into what we were going for. I was just like, wow, somebody else has our vision. I love it.
It's really neat. Yeah, definitely.
Alone.
And I think that, probably the majority of newcomers to vinyl and record collecting and all that stuff are going to come to it for that aesthetic reason, let alone, and we maybe get into it later, the functionality and, a lot of people, our generation and younger may not have grown up with full component stereo systems. And I know my kids, they know media from a phone and streaming and digital,
right,
this and instant access to so many things. They don't understand, like when I was a kid, going out there and finding a cassette or a record and, you couldn't hear it unless you could physically find it. And so I think that's a big part of it, but it's really interesting. I think the aesthetic definitely draws people in, the styling. And, for those that are familiar with my show, know that I target the entry-level market. I target newcomers in a way that is attempting to be very open-arm, welcoming to them.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of, we call them, lovingly, vinyl snobs are out there, and they seem to discourage people, especially if they dare get a suitcase record player. You know, my goodness, you know, how dare you? And really discourage and push people away, which I think, you know, does the whole hobby a disservice, and definitely isn't nice to people that are, you know, just learning about this. And so my show's focus is really, you know, meeting people where they're at on their level. You know, if you can afford only a, you know, a $20 record player from Goodwill, then that's the perfect record player for you, and there's nothing wrong with it. So I try to dispel a lot of the myths that are out there, and at the same time introduce some of this cool equipment. What's neat is a lot of the stylized equipment pieces that are being offered out there happen to be on the more affordable end of the spectrum. It seems like the more expensive you get, the less exciting they get. So that's really neat for, you know, consumers and people looking for something that's a, not just a record player, but a showpiece in their home. Like you were talking about, you know, it's like a piece of furniture. It becomes a talking point and, you know, just a kind of an interesting focal point to have in terms of decor, let alone, you know, electronics.
Oh, absolutely. And it's, yeah, you know, and it's so cool. And like I was telling you before we started the show, I've got the bug now. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I as I was in Goodwill on my knees going through a giant stack of, you know, polka records looking for that one gem, or
right.
Several maybe. But I wanted to find at least one. But I was thinking about it. My first record collecting. Now I'm probably a little older than you, but I don't know. I grew up in the 80s, and in the 80s, I was a new wave kid and whatnot. And I lived in a suburb of Metro Detroit, and the cool area was called Royal Oak, and there was a great record store called Off the Record. And at the time, there was an alley behind it with dumpsters and everything. And me and some girls I knew were cutting through to, you know, this was the cool part of town. They had the punk rock bondage store and all this kind of stuff in there. And so we were hanging out, being cool, and with our spiky hair. And we were going through this alley, and I saw a bunch of records in the dumpster that the record store had thrown away. And I started looking, and they were good. I was like, wow, there's some good stuff in here. And I'm like, why would they throw this out? Obviously, it doesn't work. And then I saw a little stamp that said, for promotional use only. And I'm like, not for sale.
Yeah. Right,
and so I'm like,
right.
Well, I don't plan on selling any of this. I'm taking it all. So I took home, like, I don't know, 35, 40 records
wow.
out of this dumpster.
Wow.
But now, 30 years later, 35 years later, however long it's been, I find myself have gone full circle. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Looking
same with
for records. It's
same
just, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, it really is has been full circle. I'm also a child of the 80s, and I grew up, you know, when I was a young child, I remember my very first record player was like this 1978 Fisher-Price
right.
brown and tan record player, and you could still get them on eBay and whatnot, and I want to do a review on them because it has a tremendous sentimental
really?
Value, but yeah, I think it's
so cool. And it
would so
play
cool.
a regular
I remember,
record.
Yeah, it would play a regular record, and there's a Fisher Price like toy one, but these were actually Fisher Price real record players. But yeah, you can buy them for like 30 or 40 bucks on eBay now. And my dad came from a background in radio broadcast, so he had a stack of 45 records, 45 RPM records, and I just sat there in my bedroom. You know, there's no sleeves, there's no care and concern. I would touch the needle. I didn't know anything about. You know, just it was basically a fancy toy, and
right.
I just remember going through records and listening to them, and then yeah, as I grew up, you know, I moved on to tapes, and then I remember happily
oh, yeah.
ditching, you know, cassette tapes for CDs because, you know, my goodness, you could skip, and it was digital sound and all this stuff,
right.
And then, you know, eventually streaming audio comes along, and my kids, you know, have literally known nothing but, you know, it's, you know, even a cassette or a CD is somewhat archaic to them, and then. Here we are, full swing again, back towards, you know,
right,
this very tangible media. Yeah.
Well, it's fantastic. I did find a funk version of all the Star Wars album by Miko at the Goodwill. I
oh,
thought that
awesome.
Was a brilliant find.
Cool.
Came home.
Yeah.
Danny's like listening to it going, what the hell are we listening to?
Right.
I'm like,
that's
you funny. Wouldn't understand, man. Now I got to get
yeah.
Star Wars, guys.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
What's in store for your business this week at Staples?
Doing business like a CEO while saving like a CFO.
Staples has all the supplies you need to run your business like a boss at prices that'll make your bookkeeper smile.
Now that is an achievement.
Everything from pens to brand spanking new calendars. And right now, 2019 desk pad calendars are just $4.99.
So get your business ready for a big year at Staples, where there's a whole lot in store.
Valid on SKU 279-6207. Ends 1/12/19.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Rucks Gear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled L'ApothecaryUnique. L'ApothecaryUnique.com.
Yeah, there's no, so much out there. There's so much meat. There's so much. There's so many weird off the wall things, and it's a right. you hear this all the time. But vinyl collecting is extremely personal because very few people are going to be able to, or probably even attempt to, you know, make their entire audio library in a vinyl. They're probably going to look for their absolute favorites, you know, own. It's kind of like the way I do with like Blu-ray now. You know, I'm not going to go out and buy every movie I like in Blu-ray, but I have like 10 or 15. And I think that's what a lot of people are going to do. You know, they're going to get the main things that they really, really like, because these things are an investment these days. I mean, new records are, you know, $30.
Oh, they're not cheap.
And that's a significant investment. So I think that people are selective, and then, yeah, Goodwill, I'm on my knees in Goodwill all the time, crate digging. And you just never know what you're going to find. You know, there's certain records that my wife and I always joke, that, you know, pop up, like Judy Collins. For some reason, Judy Collins records will pop up every time I go. Barbra Streisand, there's certain ones, but Judy Collins, every time, it's a guaranteed. But yeah, you never know what you're going to find. I found and reviewed on my channel some rare, relatively rare Russian records, you know, off the wall stuff. And that's what's really fun. And that, again, going back to the show, that's really what it's all about is the record archaeology, the aspect of the Indiana Jones aspect of going out in there, and everybody can do it. And that's what's so cool about this is virtually anywhere in the world, if you're anywhere near, you know, a city, you can go to a thrift store or a used store of some sort, and you can obtain records because there's so many millions and millions and millions of them out there that, you know, when they're used, they're like a buck or less for the most part, and you never know what you're right. going to find. So it's really like discovery, and it really has like an archaeological aspect. And that's really what I started the channel on, was that aspect, more so the records than anything else. But it's interesting, you know, you always have to adapt to what your audience wants. And right. we have a very, very impressive set of metrics that we sample daily. And we're able to know a lot about our audience. And that helps us to understand what they want, what they don't want. And what they love are the reviews of the equipment. So we try to do as many of those as possible. But record archaeology is really what it's all about. You never know what you're going to find out there.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm hooked on your channel. And we have a link, ladies and gentlemen, on our show page. And, of course, for those longtime listeners who know, this episode, when we finish up, will be converted to a podcast and put on all the various podcasting platforms. This link will follow. So if you're listening to the show, you're listening to us in the future, hello from the past. But right there is a link to Recordology's YouTube channel. And it's fascinating. And I tell you, that's how we met, is I was looking on YouTube. Just I was looking at my record player, because I'll be honest with you guys, what happened was they didn't have it in stock, and we wound up buying the floor model, and I didn't have there's a little sheet that comes on top. Well, anyways, I was trying to find out information about it and whatnot, and I found Recordology's channel and started watching videos and learned a lot. Matter of fact, Recordology, I did not know about the shipment screw. Hadn't turned
that. Oh, yeah.
That.
Yeah.
That changed everything.
It's really weird. And you screw it down to disengage it. That's what's bizarre. And it's counterintuitive. But, yeah, that's an important piece of it. And, you know, that's an example of, you know, one thing I try to show people, you know, again, it's not from the perspective of an expert, but just from the perspective of, you know, somebody that figured it out maybe a day or two before you did, you know, here's how to use these things in the real world. So.
And you're very humble and just very plain spoken and very engageable. I don't think that's a word, but just a cool channel to watch. And then I started watching other videos that you had made, and oh yeah, speak the truth. It's very true. And ladies and gentlemen, if you go to Recordology's YouTube page, you start watching these videos, you'll get hooked as well. I know you will, because it's just, there's such good videos. I love the one, I think you put it out a year ago, and it was the lies that record snobs, and you kind of touched on that earlier.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the things I really liked about it is you put it out there. I mean you, and this goes against every record snob that I have known, and I've known a few in my time, even though I haven't been collecting records. You know, you just know people that are into different things. And yeah, a few of them were like that, perpetuating that myth of the value of vinyl, you know. And, you know, I guess if something's sealed maybe and it's 45 mm-hmm. years old or 50 years old, maybe it's worth, I mean, you know, any type of collecting is worth whatever somebody's willing to pay for it, I guess,
right.
you know. But I don't think you can take these
exactly.
into the bank, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, for sure.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
Hey
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool. And if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. TheCRing.com.
And that, you know, that's an important part of it too, is that, you know, so let me take a step back for a second. So when I say vinyl snob, that refers to people that have been doing this before, you know, vinyl has its resurgence, you know, over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. These are people that, you know, in the 90s were doing vinyl, in the early 2000s were doing vinyl. They were ones that, you know, probably never let go of the format, and they, you know, have been doing it. They're old timers, and, you know, God bless them for it. That's fine. And what's interesting, you know, I'm a man of many hobbies, and, you know, the record thing is a piece of it. But there's fairly, you know, almost equal pieces of the pie in terms of other hobbies that I'm interested in. One of them, mm-hmm. love Hardy Boys books, collecting them and whatnot. And in that hobby, as well as anything else I've ever been a part of hobby wise, there's always these people that are, you know, they don't even seem happy about it. They're just, you know, well, I know the real, you know, information, and I can tell you, and the Hardy Boys ones are ridiculous because they'll be like, yes, this was, you know, from the so-and-so publishing house, and they put this out at 4 p.m. on Tuesday, and they used the paper stock number 43, and, you know, I can look at yours and tell you it's worthless, and, you know, and they're so into it, and that's fine, but they have a tendency to be fairly negative and push people out, you know, of that, and that's definitely something that I wanted to do the opposite of, because, you know, when I was kind of the history of the channel was my wife and I were caretaking an elderly relative. There was a lot of trauma involved in what she was going through. And everybody in my family was going through an amazing amount of stress. Let's just say stress, because this was a unpleasant situation. And, you know, we each sort of had to vent in our own way, had to let off steam, had to, you know, to be able to manage our own stress level, know, in our own way. And my way was, I said, yeah, I really want to focus on something that I have a passion of. And that's what was the genesis of, you know, this channel. And I researched it for about 3 months before I did this. And I said, what, you know, I love this stuff, but what's new? I want to go out there and do what everybody else is doing. And that's where I discovered the entry-level market was underserved. And so focused on that. The other part was, is at the time, all through 2017, you know, we were, you know, going to hospice daily or hospitals daily and not have the time to edit. Now, my background, ironically, for those of you that see my early work, well, you know, they won't believe it, or maybe even the new work won't believe it. But my background originally is in filmmaking and broadcast television. So you know, have a tendency to want to overproduce, but I knew that I did not have time to do that. So the show had to be something I could shoot on the fly, upload from my phone. It had to fit in with a very hectic, busy lifestyle on the go. And that's why I originally, you know, designed it around this, you know, no intros, no graphics, nothing fancy, just very low key, which is hard for me to do because I have this tendency to want to produce an actual production. But it served that purpose really, really well. And then into 2018, transitioning into normal life again, was able to introduce some elements that were available now that I had some time, you know, to spend doing it. But, you know, the vinyl snobs are a piece of the puzzle, because so much what's out there on YouTube right now is about people hating on Crosley, Victrola, entry-level stuff. And, you know, and it's unfortunate because they will look at Crosley as the best example. You know, there's probably there's no company out there doing vinyl that's disliked as strongly as Crosley, which is very unfortunate, because people take what they think they know about one product, which is usually the suitcase player, and then they, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater, because Crosley has been making amazing inroads into the mid and high end record player market with some really well-designed products, a lot of U.S. designed products, and some really good equipment. But, you know, people will instantly see the name Crosley and say, oh, that's just, you know, that's garbage. You know, I don't want to know anything about it, which is just a shame. And I think, you know, that's part of what I like to dispel and just kind of let people know the truth, you know, from what I've learned. And that video, you know, is a part of that, is, you know, dispelling a lot of the rumors, you know, about, you know, it'll damage your records, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff.
Right. Well, you know, and it's interesting because corporations and companies, like I said, I grew up in Detroit, so, you know, I grew up around auto, and, you know, all through the 80s, man, people say, oh, Toyota or any of these, you know, Honda, any of these Asian cars and whatnot were just absolute garbage. And now how times have changed, you know, they're pretty fancy.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
And things... technology moves on, man, and things change and whatnot. And I looked at those Crosleys, some of those, and you know, you can find them on Amazon and whatnot. I think for about you know $50 to $70 or something. That's pretty. I mean, I know $70 sounds, you know, there's been times in my life where $70 is a lot of money, but if you're gonna get into it, what a great way and price point to get into something. You know what I mean? You get something new that works, and read the reviews. That's what I'm not going to watch some YouTube thing and go totally on that from somebody hating on, and especially somebody negative, you know, because I'm like, somebody's pissed off about this. They don't have a
right.
That just turns me off, you know. And that's one of the things I like about your channel and you, is that you're not like that. You know,
I appreciate that.
I had no idea this other was happening when you were, because I've watched some of those older videos and whatnot, and you know, I'm sorry you went through that, but man, it's just great information you have there, and fun. They're fun to watch.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I try to make it that way. As you can tell, I'm really long-winded, so I try to keep them short. I'm getting better about that, but I just have fun doing it. It's like my wife says, it's like show and tell, which is my favorite thing in class growing up, with show and tell. And this gives me a chance to do it. And that's really what it's about. I enjoy sharing what I'm passionate about, and that's, you know, what it comes down to. But I think too, that, you know, when it comes to the people, you know, vinyl, you know, I don't know, the elders of the vinyl community, I hate to use the word snob, because it sounds, in fact, I had a lot of people get after me for even using that term. Cause I initially was promoting the channel through a lot of Facebook groups, vinyl Facebook groups. And, you know, they had a lot of fun with me on that, but you know, they just don't understand the market. I think is part of the problem. They don't understand where people, newcomers to vinyl, are coming from, because you have somebody in an apartment, or, you know, a kid that is in their bedroom and wants to get into vinyl. You know, they're not going to be investing in a, you know, a 400-pound 1970s record player with component speakers, an amplifier, a preamp. You know, they're not interested in all that garbage. They just want the fun of playing records. And maybe for them it's a passing thing. They're going to get, you know, a Victrola or a Crosley or something, and they're going to move on to their next hobby. That's okay. That's fine.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again.
Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
You know, then it's really interesting is a lot of these systems, like the Victrola 6-in-1, it's a beautiful unit. And like we were talking about, the aesthetic is a big part of it. A lot of times what happens is I'll get these comments from people and they'll be like, what you really need to do, and then they'll list off all these, you know, old school components. It's like, right. Well, you're missing the point. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, you know, a lot of people don't have room for all of that. Or right. They live in an apartment where they can't be blasting loud sound. Or, you know, they don't have an interest in investing in sound or in equipment. They just want, you know, this fun thing, and it serves a separate market. And I think that that's lost on a lot of those guys. But, you know, it's interesting. There was a lot when I first entered or when I first started this channel, there was a lot of negative activity right off the bat. And my initial stance was, yeah, there was a lot of negativity. People, you know, a lot of, I wouldn't say, I didn't get to the point of threatening behavior, but just extremely nasty, rude comments, you know, continuously. Mm-hmm. And initially, against, you know, some people's advice when I was, you know, doing research for this, decided I was just going to let the comments be wide open. I was going to take it as it came. And then it turned into a, it created a negative atmosphere, especially in the comments, where what I really wanted was just a, you know, a positive interactive thing. If people don't like what we're doing here, what we're talking about, which is all 100% true, but it may be from a different perspective than you're used to, then they can go on to another channel and that's fine. But, you know, I wanted our community to be positive. Yeah. Our community is going to be positive and happy, fun place, where people can, you know, just have fun with it. And that's what it's all about. And what's interesting is as the audience has been established, over the last, you know, year or so, especially, it's become a lot more positive, and those people have kind of dropped off that were negative. So I'm very thankful for the people we have. It's not a huge audience, but it's a very loyal one, and it's just gratifying. You know, I don't get anything out of this other than, you know, the satisfaction of, you know, sharing with people my passion. So mm-hmm. I'm thankful for that.
I wanted to ask you about that because I know, you know, I've seen the news snippets and whatnot, but I really don't know because I don't have that much background with YouTube channels and whatnot. I was under the impression that you could monetize those channels, but then somebody was, I was at a party and somebody was like, oh no, that's all changed. You have to have X amount of subscribers and mm-hmm. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's interesting. You can, we are actually monetized as of fairly recently. Mm-hmm. You have, what that means is that you become what YouTube calls a channel partner, a YouTube partner, and you have to meet certain criteria. You have to have a certain audience threshold, and you have to maintain a certain activity level. So you have to be able to sustain, I forget how many thousands of hours viewed per year in a running year long. So if it dips, then you become unmonetized. I mean, not that guarantee you nobody's getting rich over this. I mean, it's like, you know, very, right. very small, but at the same time, you know, it's to be able to make it beneficial because you're forming, you know, brand loyalty, you're forming, you know, status in terms of your placement within YouTube. A lot of the way that YouTube works, and this is fascinating study for those, you know, considering, you know, doing YouTube. I spoke with a lot of people that are doing similar shows to what I'm doing, although albeit from a different angle, because like I said, nobody's doing exactly what I'm doing. But I spoke to mm-hmm. a lot of them, and instead of, you know, just straight trying to compete, I contacted them and I said, look, I am a fan of yours, fan first, and I'm thinking about starting my own channel. What advice would you have for me? And certain things came back very, you know, strongly across. First of all, most everybody was willing to talk, and there was zero negative competition, if that makes any sense. They were very happy to share what they knew, which was very awesome, even if we had differing opinions on our approach to this hobby. But they said, you know, you have to be consistent. You have to post regularly. And at first, I was posting a lot, but it was sporadic. I'd post 3 videos one day, then nothing for a week, then 2 videos and nothing for another week. Again, part of it was due to our lifestyle back then. But I was able to get a lot of tips. And part of the magic of YouTube has to go to your placement, because part of the metrics we're able to pull for our channel is how people come to find the channel. And you really want to be placed in those suggested video feeds. So when you're on YouTube and you're scrolling there and they suggest things they think you're interested in, there's a lot of, you know, there's a big algorithm that goes into how that works behind the scenes. And part of it from the standpoint of a YouTube creator like myself is how you're engaging with your audience. If you're doing it regularly, some people don't engage with their audience. They just let the comments section be like this, you know, wild zone. But, you know, I make a point to engage with my audience, not just for the algorithm, but because I actually want to engage with my audience. We do live shows every so often, and it's just, you know, again, to engage, to make it more of a community. One of the secrets of YouTube is this, is that, again, this is very much something that struck me as interesting coming from a broadcast television filmmaking perspective. If you look mm-hmm. at YouTube as a distribution platform, solely distribution platform, if you look at it as a way to put content out there, you're going to miss the mark. It's not a place where you should just post episodes of a show and have it be a one-way street like broadcast is. YouTube is a place where people go there for relationships. They go there to interact with people. They go there to feel like they have, you know, kind of a friend in a way that are interested in the things that they're a part of. So they want that personal engagement, which I think is awesome because I want to engage with my audience as well. And it's one of the best platforms suited for that because there's a lot more, you know, there's a lot more tools now for the audience to reach back out and engage and make that a complete circle versus a one-way push. So, but yeah, it's an interesting thing. It's very dynamic. It changes by the day. And it's a fascinating thing. I really am intrigued by it. I'm very awed by those that are having amazing success doing it. One thing that I get, let me preface this by saying I encourage everybody that has a concept or a perspective or, you know, knowledge that they want to share to give it a go and just jump on there. That's all I did. One day I just jumped on there And it wasn't, you know, it was very rough at the very beginning. I just literally uploaded from my phone my first video. But one thing that I've heard consistently is that the longer you wait, the harder it is to compete. Because one thing is that there's so much content out there. But the other thing is that, you know, YouTube will change the threshold needed for different things. For instance, monetization. It used to be a lot easier to be monetized, and now it's a lot harder. And they even send a person into your channel to look through your content and make sure that you're somebody who's passionate about doing this. It's doing a respectable, clean show, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
You're taking it seriously, basically. So, but yeah, it's interesting.
Well, it's fascinating. I like I said, I got so much good information from your channel that, you know, it's just gold. And I'm new to this. I'm definitely a newbie into it. I've owned, and actually, you know, I used to own a big component system like you were talking about. You know, I bought a big Pioneer system and spent 1,000, you know, Bose speakers, the whole thing. And you're right, it took up an entire corner of my apartment. I was kind of glad, you know, and I've since, you know, sold that thing off, and, you know, I think an ex-girlfriend got half of it or something. But it doesn't matter. But when I saw this all-in-one system, I'm like, man, this is brilliant, because I don't have to give up a corner of my house, you know?
Exactly.
And I said, you know, there's got to be more people into this kind of stuff. And like I said, I found your channel, and I was just going through, and there's so many, you know, you had that video with the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. I remember I had that as a little kid.
That was a fun one,
Just bring it back. And you did a lot of cool stuff at Christmas time, too. Didn't you have a live show at Christmas or something you were doing?
Yeah, we did a couple of live shows. I love Christmas. It's my, you know, I'm very passionate about it. So I wanted to, at the same time, I know a lot of people, you know, don't share that enthusiasm to the level I do. So I didn't want to go overkill. My wife's like, don't do too much Christmas stuff. But I definitely wanted to do that. It's just, you know, it's a kid in a candy store kind of thing. I find a shiny new record, I want to share it. And, you know, I appreciate the nice comments, but it's really just it's a fun thing. It's a labor of love. And I'm just happy that people are enjoying it, for sure.
Well, absolutely. And I'm, you know, thank you. And I know doing any of these types of projects sometimes is a little bit of a thankless job. But just from there's a cat in South Florida here, man, that was really grateful of the work you had put in and whatnot and the information I got. So that was nice.
That's
you know,
great.
That was very cool. And I hope other people get into it as well. And you're saying your advice. I mean, if you get a $100 record player, that's fine. Whatever makes you happy, go for it.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I think that's fantastic.
You know, and to your point earlier, on the topic of records having value, people will always point out to me, well, yeah, but if you have this copy, you know, blah 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 blah. And there are examples of that, but for the most part, when you and I go to Goodwill and we're, you know, crate digging, all that stuff isn't going to have monetary value, but the value is really in a historical value. And if something, you know, every once in a while I'll come across, like, I remember, gosh, a couple months ago I was crate digging and I came across these Bible sing-along things that I had as a little kid. And it was so nostalgic. I'm like, I remember these, you know? And to anybody else, it wouldn't even have nostalgic value, but to me it did. And I think that's a lot of what's neat about it is people have such, you know, emotional connections to this in a lot of ways. It's a very personal thing. Not only from the media, but from the equipment, it becomes extremely personal and everything is very subjective. So like you have these, you know, people that, you know, I only use a rubber slip matter. I only use an acrylic because of this. And I can prove to you why this is better. And it all pretty much sounds the same. It all pretty much sounds the same. There's so much subjectivity to this that it's really, you know, a lot of personal preference, but it's just fun.
And like
you know what I mean?
Out,
and like I said,
if you want to get down to it, the CD is going to sound better than all of it. You know, if you're going for
and
just
that's,
sound quality.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, and if
you,
you
know,
and
sure
boy, if you bring that
bows.
Up, yeah,
right.
You bring that up and you really open a can of worms because, you know, they'll be, yeah, they're lined up on the streets to tell you why that's wrong. But, you know, from a scientific, my, you know, recent background is in engineering. So I'm a sound and video engineer. And I can, you know, we can talk through the scientific aspects, which is interesting to geeks like me, but, you know, boring to the general public. But yeah, I mean, if you're looking for, you know, true sound quality, you know, this is more so about the aesthetic, more so about the collecting, and that's really where the focus should be.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, and like I said before, it's not like this is not going to go on my tombstone. It's just something that it's fun. It's just something I'm passionate about. It's, you know, it's a good, clean, productive hobby, and, you know, I just want to share my passion for it. That's all it is.
And then I think that's fantastic. That is fantastic, and I'm right there with you, man. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, and it really brings back, like you said, digging through those, you know, and, yeah, I'm going through, you know, I think, man, for some reason, at least in our neighborhood, Brahms was real popular. There was about 500 Brahms classical, and that's fine, you know, that's your thing.
For
that's
sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it was cool just digging through. I really enjoyed myself, and you know, Danny was off looking at, I don't know what she was looking at, but she was doing her thing, and I was over there digging. Everybody was stepping over me. It was you know, it was a fun afternoon.
I've been there. I've been there for sure. It's fun.
It's a good excuse to go garage selling. Another thing I love to do.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Garage selling is real fun. It really, really is.
Yeah, it's cool. Well, like I said, I'm really enjoying myself with this, and you know, I like I said, I found out a lot of good information, and screwing down that shipping thing, I had no idea.
I just downloaded the manual.
Right, but it's cool. Well, I'm very excited. And again, folks, we have a link up to the Recordology YouTube page. I suggest you get over there, subscribe definitely. And I think when you subscribe, you need to hit that. There's a bell or something you need to hit so you get updates.
Yeah.
Because you post
because
several times a week, right?
If you just subscribe, all you'll get is periodic updates. So if you want to get every update, especially the live notifications, hit the bell button. I don't know if you can do it from a phone or if you have to do that from a computer, but what that'll do is it'll let you know when we're going live, and it will that will put you in the running because we do giveaways on the live show. So we'll give away records, and, you know, we've given away headphones and things and stuff. So, you know, if we have any promotional items, we can give away. So, yeah, youtube.com/apology is the place to be.
Awesome. You know, and a cool thing, too, is I have a lot of bands on the show here. And it seems to be, I have a lot of European bands, and particularly a lot of Scandinavian bands, Sweden and the like. And, man, they are hot on every band that comes on there putting out vinyl. Everyone, they always ask, hey, can we send you a vinyl over? And now I'm like, yes, you can.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it's really interesting, too, because the whole, you know, when the industry was done with vinyl, they were really done with vinyl. So all of the vinyl presses in the entire world were all scrapped, and thousands of these machines, you know, that had basically the technology of which had been very much unchanged, you know, since, you know, they started pressing records, was, you know, thrown away with sayonara. We're never going to go back to that again. And what's happening now is, rather than make new presses, which are extremely complex and expensive, companies have gone to, there's a couple of companies that press, you know, in the world, maybe probably less than 6 or 7 companies that press records that happen to have these old machines, a couple of them anyway. And what they do is they happen to be the only ones that do it now. And there's an amazing backlog for getting vinyl pressed. So if a band wants to put out a vinyl record, I've heard it's like a 6-month process to do that.
I can imagine.
And I think that the fact that it's, you know, such a, you know, it's so rare, you know, pressing plants are so rare these days, and it's such a backlog, probably also adds to the expense, because, you know, they're not ordering these things in the millions of quantities like they used to as much. You know, it's more of the hundreds of thousands, so it's more expensive to make, and therefore that's why you have, you know, records that cost 30, 40, or 50 bucks.
They do, absolutely. We were at Target the other day. We went to Target, I don't know, cat litter or something, and anyway, we, well, in our particular Target, when you walk in, you go by the audio-visual equipment and book area. And I just happened to look over, and they had a whole aisle of vinyl. And I'm like, oh, that's
weird. Yeah.
And
it's so bizarre
I
to
looked,
see it.
I did not. Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of the old classics, you know, I think it was Rising Balls, Ziggy Stardust by Bowie, you know, stuff like that, Beatles, things like that, which is, you know, fantastic. But you were absolutely right. It's $45 a CD, or not a CD, but a record. And I'm like, man, that's $45 yeah. records I could get at Goodwill.
Yeah. right. Yeah, exactly.
That's how my mind was working, you know. But I hope people get into it because, you know, we have so much fun doing it. I think other people will as well. And it's a fun, it's a cool thing to do, man. And we meet some cool people doing it, too. So
I agree. I really enjoy meeting people out there and getting to know some. There's some regulars that, you know, comment frequently, and you know, you start to develop a relationship with people. It's really fun, and that's really what it comes down to. You happen to be, you know, meeting friends and getting to know one another over these inanimate objects, and that's really what it's all about. It's about the relationship.
Absolutely. Well, very cool. Well, we're up against the time, but man, I want to thank you, Recordology, for taking time out of your schedule and whatnot, and
absolutely,
you know, being on the show and everything. It's very cool. Well, you have a friend in South Florida now, and
well, I appreciate
that's
that.
Cool.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and we'll stay right in touch. I'll keep you apprised of any cool finds I find. You know.
Yeah, that'd be great. That would be great. I really appreciate it so much. Recordology is a labor of love, like I said, and you know, everybody's welcome. So youtube.com/recordology or just YouTube search Recordology, you'll find us.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. And I'm going to be changing that on our show page, folks. I didn't know that. I thought it was that big number thing. That's what we have up there. We will be changing that. With the YouTube.com Recordology, is the hyphen stay or do we get rid of the hyphen?
It's all one word. So it's YouTube.com
nice.
/ Recordology. Yeah.
Cool. Well, we will have that changed up just as soon as the show's over here, which will be directly. Very, very cool. This show, of course, ladies and gentlemen, will be converted to a podcast and put out on all the various podcasts. I can't even talk. Platforms, including up for free on Apple Podcasts. So how about that? Very, very cool. So, and the link follows, like I said. So just click on that, and it'll be a lot of fun. We will be back tomorrow's Wednesday. We're not back tomorrow night. We're back Thursday. Have a brand new crowdfunding campaign by a former guest, Miss Kata Hay. She's a country pop singer out of Nashville, and she's got a new project. She's getting going. And she wants to tell you all about it. She'll be on the show talking about that. Very cool. Recordology, keep doing what you're doing, man. You're real good at it. And
you thank
know,
you so much. I appreciate
very infectious.
It.
Very, very cool. Have a great night, everybody. We will see you next time. And get over there, youtube.com/recordology. Subscribe and hit that bell.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.